Oh, well, this is a surprise. I didn't know you were going to listen today. You should shoot me an email or something. I mean, you can come anytime you want and listen to the show, but I didn't know you were coming today. I don't even have the candy dish filled, so I'm embarrassed. Oh my God. Oh my God, I don't even have any pants on. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Oh my God.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... Oh, crap. Oh, the Ron Van Dam Show, that's right.
Relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program today. Okay, now I'm ready for you. So, you go. What do you want to say? Oh, what is this? I've got to talk for nearly an hour while you sit on your ass and listen to this? Well, that's expecting a lot from me and very little from you. But that's the way this show works. How are you today? Well, I hope you're dry. That's all I have to say. It's, you know, when you have these disastrous floods and hurricanes, and this is on television like 24 hours, you just... You know what drills into your head, you know? And then this North Korea guy just going nuts. You know what drills into your head? Oh, my goodness. It's a miracle. Every day is a miracle. The fact that you're still here, man. The fact that the planet still spins and the sun still shines and people are still breathing. I mean, this is like really something. And then you think of all the horrible stuff that the people in Texas have gone through, and now the people in Florida. And I mean, that's like, wow, you have to leave your home, and floodwaters and winds knocking trees down could hit your home. Or what? I mean, it's just like the things that can happen are really insurmountable. And I came to that realization yesterday. You can't ever depend on anything working out. You're just be damn happy all the time. That's the lesson. Be damn happy all the time. Because there could be another hurricane, a storm, some type of dispute with another country like we're having. I mean, you know, anything can happen. It always could. It always could. I mean, back like centuries and centuries ago, you didn't know if a Viking was going to come into your home and start raping and pillaging. It could have happened. Vikings were crazy. Just be thankful that there are no more Vikings. That's all I can tell you. Really. Just be damn thankful is what I'm saying. Just be damn thankful. I've gotten into a rut recently, an eating rut, and it's a horrible thing. I have this great need for this food that I just love, and that food is pasta. It's nothing but flour and maybe an egg or two, usually not. And it's just freaking flour. And you eat it and you put sauce on it and it's delectable. The pasta comes in so many different sizes and shapes. It's like it's a food that just morphs itself into other foods. Sometimes I feel like spaghetti. Sometimes I feel like shells or elbows or fusilli. I often feel fusilli. But depending on my many moods, I could have lasagna. Oh, that's so good. Even if I have spaghetti, I could even have thin spaghetti, or I can have thick spaghetti, or fettuccine. I love the way that Italians speak, and the Spanish people do it too. When you speak perfect English, but when you come to a word that is Italian, you pronounce it totally differently. You get into the Italian thing. And every culture does this. Every single culture does this. They all do it. But it's funny. It's fascinating. Yes, I'm going to go out tonight, and a wife and I, we're going to go out, and we're going to go down to the Italian restaurant, and we're going to have some fettuccine. All of a sudden, the whole accent changes. Jewish people do that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go down to Maxie's Deli this afternoon, and I'm going to have a little bit of that Reuben sandwich. I love Reuben sandwiches. Oy, when you get a Reuben! It's just amazing how it just changes all of a sudden. We're going to go down to the Mexican restaurant. They make the best enchiladas in the world. Anyway, so pasta, I'm going crazy there. And then there's the wide noodles and the dumplings, and it's a flour. It's a boiled flour extravaganza. But I've become hooked on it. I want it with every meal. I want it to be the entire meal. I'm getting into this pasta craze, and it's awful. I'm even pasta salad. You put some vegetables in the pasta, make sure it's nice and cold, and then a nice dressing, and you eat that stuff, man. I know pasta is empty calories, and it's really not good for you. There's nothing really in it. Some of the pasta companies are making vegetable pasta. It's not so bad, but they say on the box it's like getting 5 servings of vegetables. No, you know what's like getting 5 servings of vegetables? 5 servings of vegetables. Because you color the pasta and put a little bit of that stuff in there, doesn't make it healthy. Oh, I'm getting a lot of vegetables. I eat pasta, the vegetable pasta. I eat it every day. It's green. It's green. So, like, it's green. What do you want from me? I was eating spinach spaghetti for a long time thinking, all right, I'm going to get really healthy now. I'm eating spinach every day. No, you're not. You're really kind of, no, you're not. You want to eat spinach every day? Eat spinach every day. That's how you do that. So I got to get off of this pasta kick because it feeds in itself. Once you have some pasta, you want more pasta, then you want more pasta. Last week, I wanted a little bit of pasta, so I took some of that rotine, and I poured it out of the box, but I only did like a handful of rotine, and then I put it in the boiling water, took it out, and put some spaghetti sauce on it, and it was just in a little bit of grated cheese, man. The Parmesan's got to go on top, and now it just satisfies me. It's that and sex. Those two things, they do it for me. Either one is fine. Kind of pasta is better because you don't have to work so hard. So make a handful of the pasta, you know, of the rotine, and then I finished it. And I said to myself, I would love some more of this stuff, but I don't have any more. But wait a minute, there's the pot. There's the water still in the pot, I could throw some more rotene in it and eat some more of it. But that would be really awful. That would be piggish. And of course, 5 minutes later, I'm eating more rotini. So this has got to stop, short of me putting duct tape on my face directly over my mouth so my lips can't part and I also can't breathe, which is a downside of that idea. I've got to figure something out. And I will. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about me. I was reading the paper over the weekend because I was forced to. Because I have to know things, and I really don't like to know things, but I have to know things. And this really sparked my goat. It flabbergasted. This really boiled my noodles. I live in Massachusetts. Thank you very much. It doesn't require applause. It's just a fact of life. I didn't always live here. I moved here because of a job a long time ago, a job I no longer have because I retired from it and moved on to much better things. But I moved here for that reason. Actually, that company moved me here, so I was like captive or something. Hey, Ron, you want a promotion? Sure, I'd love more money. You got to move to Massachusetts. Oh, great. Anyway, so that's where I live. One of the most touted hospitals in the country is Mass General, Massachusetts General Hospital. People travel from all over the country to go to this hospital. Its ratings have just slipped a tad over the years, but it's still really up there. It's internationally known. And then I'm reading in the Boston Globe the following headline: Doctor sues Mass General Hospital over 2015 firing. And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe a doctor fucked up, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Maybe a physician fucked up. No. I apologize, by the way. I didn't need to use that particular phrase. Maybe a doctor made a big mistake and was fired accordingly. Okay, good for Mass General Hospital for staying on top of this. But then I read further here, and apparently they fired the doctor because he was doing some whistleblowing. Now, that doesn't mean he stood in the lobby and started blowing a whistle. That would be funny, actually, but that's not what happened. Apparently, there were doctors, and might still be, but I would assume not. There are doctors at Mass General Hospital that if you're going for a very serious operation, a very complicated operation, they will give you the anesthesia, knock you out, and then they'll let you lying there. And apparently the surgeon goes back and forth between operating rooms and does a couple of surgeries at the same time, going back and forth. So you're lying there on the operating table and nothing's happening to you. You're waiting for the doctor to come back from the other surgery that he's doing down the hall. I don't think this is illegal. It's just damn amazing that this would even be. I mean, if I'm going to have some type of open heart surgery or something, I want to make sure that damn doctor just stands over me, does it, sews me up, and calls it a day. Don't leave me on the table to go down the hall and start another operation. Apparently, from this whistleblowing doctor, people are knocked out for far too long. In other words, you don't want to be knocked out for a long time. It can cause brain damage, all that kind of stuff. You want to be knocked out for the smallest amount of time possible, which means the doctor, as soon as you're like under the anesthesia, should start operating immediately, get it finished, sew you up, and bring you out of it. Not leave you lying there still under and then doing some more stuff later. So there was a whistleblower. This doctor said, you know, this is going on in our hospital, and this is unethical. And it's dangerous to the patient to be knocked out for that long. He got fired by the hospital for making trouble. So now the hospital's in trouble for firing the doctor because the doctor was a whistleblower. That's a separate problem. This doctor was with Mass General for 35 years. They accused him of improperly releasing patient records with names redacted to the Boston Globe. But the doctor contends the real reason for his refusal to remain silent was that he was convinced that there was a serious patient safety issue, and this was the only way he could bring it out. And the hospital got rid of Dr. Burke because he was a big mouth. So that's the lawsuit. That's one story. That's for the doctor and the lawsuit and the hospital to figure out. The bigger story to me is the fact that Massachusetts General Hospital might possibly be actually finagling patients to the point where it's dangerous to have an operation there. Not all the time, but I guess by some doctors. Some doctors go back and forth between operating rooms. Yeah, okay, patient number one, all right, he's out. Okay, I'm going to go to patient number two. Let me know when patient number one does anything. Patient number one, I'll go back to him. All right, tell patient number, all right, and then patient number two is out. I'll be back there like half an hour. Just let him lay on the table there. You know, make believe he's dead. Just let him lay on the table lifeless. I'll be back after I finish this open heart over here. Wait a minute. Okay, I've got to go to patient number. Okay, patient number one. All right, we've got the open heart. We'll be back with him in about 10 minutes. Let him lie there. He's not going to go anywhere, obviously. So let him lie there. Who's going to know? What? Dr. Burke is coming? Oh, my God. What do I do now? I've got two patients on the operating table, and here comes Dr. Burke, and he's a whistleblower. Oh, my God. This is just unsettling. If I were going in for a very serious operation, I want that surgeon to knock me out, do your thing, sew me up, bring me back to life, and we'll all have a good time because I'm going to go home and take pain medication. But don't put me on an assembly line and let me lie there lifeless while you go off and do some other guy's body. Or girl. So that really bothered me. And then I'm thinking, I don't know what the hell these doctors are doing to me. There was a time, I might be a little bit older than you, maybe not, maybe younger. There was a time when I went to the doctor, maybe had some type of a test or something, you know, or a lab test or something, or whatever the case might be. And then I would get a bill from the insurance company, and I wouldn't know what the hell I was paying for. You know, Mr. Van Damme, yes, he had a KOD exchange with a reading of the BOWL. In the nacrocranial facade, so there was the we had the biotechnician look at the RODs and the COPs, and then we performed a quasitala with quasitala specialist, and you know, there's a list of like 50 things that they did to me, and I'm not aware of them doing any of it. What? I had my insurance company was probably paying for stuff that the doctors were just making up. I really felt that. I mean, what's the insurance company going to do? Call, you know, on every line of the bill? Wait, this Dr. Monroe, he says he did a POTO for $700. Can you verify that? Yeah, ask Ron. Ron, did they do a POTO? A POTO? What the hell are you talking? I don't even know what you're talking about. How do I know what they're charging me for? I have no idea. Now, I get a little piece of paper from my insurance company once every 2 or 3 months, and it says on it all the stuff that the doctor did to me. I still don't know what the hell it is. So do I call the doctor and say, a POTO? I don't know what that is. What is a POTO? You don't do that. You just go, all right, you know what you're talking about. I don't. I'm apparently healthy because of your POTO, whatever the hell that is. I have no idea. If I got a credit card charge for something that I didn't know what it was, I would call the credit card company or the company immediately and find out, like, why am I being charged for this? I didn't buy this. I didn't order this. Yet when you go to the doctor, you have no idea what they're doing and what they're billing you for. And even if they spell it out, you have no idea what it is. It's disconcerting. And I've always felt that the reason that our medical bills are so high, our medical insurance bills are so high, is because doctors are charging for stuff that they're not doing. I don't know it for sure. It's a feeling in my bones. And I assume, just like apparently, allegedly, these doctors at Mass General Hospital, and by the way, you've got to understand that if they're doing it at a major hospital like that, they're doing it everywhere. Oh, Ron, don't say that. We won't do that at our hospital. Oh, okay, fine. Sure. Because you said you don't, I must assume you don't. Is that why when I make an appointment at a doctor's office that I have to wait for 45 minutes because you know how to schedule things so well? Or is it that you want to pack as many patients in there as possible to make as much money as you can? Now, Ron, the reason we pack patients in is because they need to be seen by the doctor. And we pack them in so that they can be seen by the doctor quickly. Oh, is that why? I see. Are we short doctors now? Apparently. And I'm not being racist about this, but of all the doctors I know, only like a couple of them speak English. Ron, that's a horrible thing to say. Well, let's just say that almost all of them have very thick accents that I can't understand. And when I'm being diagnosed, you know, and checked out by a doctor, I want to make sure I understand every single syllable you're saying. But I find myself with many doctors and technicians saying, oh, say that again. Are Americans, and I know people from other countries are also Americans, but I mean, like, are we not like being doctors anymore? I have no problem with it whatsoever. I mean, I don't care where you're from. If you're a good doctor, you're a good doctor. That's fine. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. The only problem is that I literally can't understand some of you. Most of the telemarketing calls that I get, 80% of the telemarketing calls that I get, and I get a lot of them, are from people that I can't understand what they're saying. I can't understand the accent. And how can I buy something from you or listen to a sales pitch from you when I don't understand what you're saying? And I'm a fairly intelligent person. Well, Ron, that's because those calls aren't even coming from the United States. They're coming from other countries. Oh, okay. So now we're outsourcing people calling on the phone. We don't have enough people to do that. Anyway, I got off the subject like really a lot and I started complaining. I'm really a very lovable person. But I'm telling you, I've said this on the show so many, I've been saying this for decades. I've been doing radio for decades and decades. And this bothers me more than almost anything, which says a lot, believe me. There's nothing more important than your health and the health of your family. That tops the chart on everything. It tops the chart. Your health. You not being in pain. People you know not physically suffering. When they do, that tops the chart. Do you ever have a child, your child, who has like an earache and they're screaming and you take them down the emergency room and there's like 700 people in the waiting room and your child is in pain? There's nothing more disturbing in the world at that point. That tops the chart. And now that most vulnerable part of almost all of us is ultra expensive. People can't afford health insurance because the prices are through the roof. Something's wrong. And they can do all the repeals of Obamacare, all the new Trumpocare they can come up with. But these guys are all missing the point. They're all missing the point. Health insurance can't be that expensive. It can't be so expensive that it's the most expensive thing, probably more than somebody's mortgage almost. on a monthly basis. I swear it's true. It can't cost that much. If it does, someone's screwing somebody somewhere. Those bills are way too high. That's what we do. We find something that has a great importance to it, and we charge through the roof because people want it. That EpiPen thing, remember that? This EpiPen company charging hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a little pen prick so that you don't die. These people, it's a life-saving pen that you jab in your arm for people that need it. Without it, that person could die. The cost of that, to the point where you can't afford it. That's not only cruel, but it's way out of whack. And I tell you, whatever medication that is in that little pen prick, that's not comma, that's all the same sentence. whatever amazing chemical is in there, I know it don't cost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. They have barrels of this crap, and all they got to do is fill a little needle with a couple of drops. That's not hundreds and hundreds of dollars. That's ripping off the public because you know they need that badly. And that's where our country is. And that's the deal. All right, enough complaining on your part. God, you know, what's the matter with you? Why are you complaining so much today?
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves recently and put on my chef's hat to open my brand new restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Headshots serve some of the best Italian crayons.
That's cuisine.
Italian cuisine in the area. You come in and I'll give you a meal that'll knock you out. Ah, crayons.
That one says meatballs, Bobby.
Meatballs are the best you've ever tasted. Come in for my 1-2 punch pasta and daily lunch specials. Every day, daily lunch specials are every day.
We're all good on that one, Bobby. Let's keep going.
All right. So listen, come into...
It's called Headshots, Bobby. Headshots.
Headshots, thank you. Headshots, and ask for me. What the hell is my name?
Headshots is located downtown at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner if Bobby remembers the keys and where the restaurant is.
Bobby Marone. But he's got pasta over there. That's really important to me. Anyway, we're going to speak to a very interesting person now. I'm getting in the medical mood here, the complaining about medical mood. One of the things that is just, they make it so complicated, this Medicare thing, you know, whenever you may go on it. When you get older, this is like, but it's not free. It's just reduced cost. It's subsidized. It doesn't mean that when you become a senior and you get on Medicare that the health insurance is free. It's not that. There's Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D. I didn't even know there were so many parts to it. And they all cost money. So when you become older, it's not like you don't have to pay for anything anymore. Maybe you get like a discount on a Dunkin' Donuts cup of coffee or something, but that's kind of about it. You know, maybe you'll get at a reduced rate to see the movies. Maybe you'll save a buck or two. But other than that, you're still paying. You still got to pay for stuff, including medical insurance. So I sought out some stuff. I got a response here from Rebecca Rabbit. I know. That is, I think it's a cool name. I'm not sure. Of course, it reminds me of Who Killed Roger Rabbit, I believe. That was a movie/cartoon thing. And I think it was Jessica Rabbit or something. This is Rebecca Rabbit. No relation whatsoever. In any event, she's going to explain this to me. And I totally kind of don't understand at all.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Good. This is Rebecca Rabbit, and she's joining us. She's PharmD and an expert in Medicare Part D. That's good because I'm not, so this is helpful to me. Seniors every year have to re-identify or choose a Medicare plan, and it's time. This happens same time every year around this time of year, I assume.
Yes, it does, every October 15th through December 7th.
Okay. Why is it that it's not automatically renewed if you do nothing, like a magazine subscription?
That's a really good question. The good news is that Medicare beneficiaries have lots of choices for plans. So there's always an opportunity for them to reevaluate the plan each year and determine if what they have today meets their needs or they want to change to something different.
Doesn't it always come down to the most coverage at the lowest price?
Generally, yes.
Yeah.
But it's not always that easy to figure that out.
Yeah.
Some people look just at premium, but the story is much bigger than that.
Yeah. I wish there was a group of people, such as yourself, who you could call up and you say, here's my situation, here's my medical deal, what do you suggest? Because it's so difficult to go through all these comparisons and things change, and it's like, oh, you need an accountant to come in and help you out here.
It is very complicated. Mm. Most beneficiaries have choices of 20 to 30 plans, and I know for me, when you get beyond three, it gets a little confusing.
Yes.
So one place to go is Plan Finder. Medicare.gov has a Plan Finder where you can compare what's offered in your area.
Mm-hmm.
But even before you get there, I think it's helpful to have just an overall perspective of how do I make this decision with all this information.
Yeah.
So we've kind of outlined that in a document or in a website called roadmapformedicare.com.
Oh, cool.
And if people read that, and even beneficiaries might want to have their kids read it or kids may want to read it for their parents, it helps give the big picture as to how do you start tackling all this information.
Yeah. And we're talking about basically Part D. Even the parts confuse me. I know there's Medicare, and then there's all kinds of parts that follow it. And I don't know how we get...
Yes, there are.
Yeah, and I don't know how we got to Part D when I don't know what B and C are.
Well, to simplify that, Part A is really your hospitalization.
Yeah.
Part B are for your outpatient physician visits.
Yeah.
And Part C was when managed care became popular,
yes,
and it combined Part A and Part B together.
So
for a long time, beneficiaries only had hospitalization and some outpatient coverage and no drug coverage at all.
Okay.
Part D, as in dog, added the drug coverage to it.
Okay. And the D is something that most people use every day. So that becomes...
That's why it's such a critical decision, yes, because you use your pharmacy benefit more than you use your doctor visits or your hospitalizations.
Yeah, or at least they go hand in hand. And there are many choices, you know, with the advancement of pharmaceutical companies and such, and pharmacies, can't call them drugstores anymore, I don't think, pharmacies, they have their own programs even that couple with Medicare, which makes it even more options, I guess.
It does. There are some partnerships that are out on the market, and so I would caution people to evaluate those closely.
Yeah.
Part of the decision is not just based on low premium. Patients should look at all the drugs that they're on and whether they're covered by that plan and what the copay or the coinsurance would be.
Yeah.
And when you total that up, you should look at what it's going to cost you over the whole year.
Yeah. Beck, you know what's funny to me is that you spend your whole life protecting your Social Security number so nobody else steals it. Oh my God, if they had my Social Security number, all hell could break loose and they could duplicate accounts and all things. And then they give you your Medicare card and it's got your Social Security number on it. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think Medicare also agrees with that. And so there's an initiative this year to change all the Social Security cards to have a new Medicare beneficiary identifier. So all Medicare recipients will get a new card as of April of 2018. So everyone should be on the lookout for that.
Wow.
And that it's important to protect that number as much as it is your Social Security number.
Sure, sure. Boy, that's a lot of cards I got to send out.
Yes, yes, yeah. It is. And the industry is working hard to prepare for that big change.
I'm assuming that the number of seniors is just like through the roof. It's like, is this like one of the highest age groups, largest populous age groups in history for seniors now?
It is. For the next couple of years, they will grow 4 to 6% per year.
Wow.
So some have said 10,000 a day are aging into Medicare.
That's amazing. Okay. And we'll all be there someday if we're not already. So that's how that works. All right. So the idea here is to get some help in making the proper choices. And we're talking about Part D here, I think. So where do I go for this help? You mentioned it earlier in the interview. Please repeat it.
It's roadmapformedicare.com.
Roadmapformedicare.com. Okay.
Yes, yes. www.roadmapformedicare.com.
Good. Because seniors need help. I mean, in the sense that you reach an age and then you figure, oh, I don't have to deal with all these decisions anymore, and then here comes this. But, you know, Medicare itself is helpful, so I guess you have to weigh the two. All right.
It is.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to look over that website, and then they can also call 1-800-MEDICARE. Where there are professionals there that can help them answer very specific questions.
Good. I hope they're friendly people.
They are. They are.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. This is very important for a huge segment of the population. So information very well taken. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Thanks, Becky. Bye-bye. Thank you, Becky. Becky. Called her Becky. Ladies and gentlemen, man, you know, sometimes being healthy is like a miracle.
Here comes a miracle.
That's what we need, a miracle.
The one we've been waiting for.
I don't need a doctor, I need a miracle.
Here comes a miracle.
Please, soon.
It's time to open up the door. Oh, the miracle.
Turn water into wine or something, will ya?
My heart is beating fast. I can't seem to slow it down. Open up the door. Why am I shivering? I can feel it fading fast. Well, for the first time I believe that I can finally
we to open our hearts the door.
That was Cheap Trick, ladies and gentlemen. The musical group Cheap Trick, which reminds me of my sexual experience with my first girlfriend. I'll be with you again tomorrow. I hope you come back then. The door will always be open. Not really. I mean, it's not like a physical door. It's just... never mind. I wish you peace. Did you enjoy today's show?
It was unbelievably painful.
Yeah.
Whatever.